Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze. Caroline, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. How are y'all doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Caroline, lots going on with the Tennessee Titans. Lots going on in the NFL. Let's just start on this front. What did you think of the Rand Carthon press conference and just a couple of your big takeaways from what you heard on Friday from Carthon and Vrabel?
Oh, I thought he was great. You know, I think that the first impression is so important. That's something that Amy Adams Strunk has even talked about throughout their interview process, how important the first impression is. I thought Rand Carthon seemed incredibly likable, very genuine. I thought that he was very transparent, both about himself personally, his background, and about his mindset professionally, how he approaches football, how he has approached all of his jobs in the past. I thought he was great. And, you know, at least for right now, based off of the press conference, he won the press conference. It looks like a good hire for now. And I think my next question is, okay, moving forward, you know, how are things going to shake out? I know that they use the word collaboration. Amy Adams Strunk used it. Mike Vrabel used it. Rand Carthon used it so many times. But really, what does that mean? And my question about that is kind of two-sided. One, who has final say? I believe it's Amy Adams Strunk. And two, who has responsibility when things don't go according to plan? You know, if the expectations for the Titans are to win the division and make the playoffs, and that doesn't happen, then who does that responsibility fall on? If there's a draft pick in the first round that doesn't shake out, which I think we've all learned is, you know, that's likely, that could happen, you know, who is responsible for that? If everybody is all on the same page, everybody's working together, if everything's a collaborative effort, does everybody get the blame? Does everybody get fired? I guess that's kind of my question, is whenever things do get tough, because right now things are great. Things are wonderful. It's the honeymoon phase. It's all sunshine and rainbows, which is great. But there's going to come a day where maybe it's not. There's going to come a day where there's disagreements. There's going to come a day where things don't go according to plan. So who will be responsible for that? That's one question that I have. I think also one thing that really stood out to me about the press conference was how different Rand Carthon responded to questions about Ryan Tannehill and about Derrick Henry. With Ryan Tannehill, it's like, you know, I've just got here. We're still evaluating. The quarterback position can get you hired and fired. We don't want to jump to any conclusions, which really, honestly, is how I expected Rand Carthon to answer that question, even though I do believe that he, Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk have a pretty clear vision of what they want to do with the quarterback position moving forward. I expected him to answer the question that way. And then asked about Derrick Henry, and he's like, oh, yeah, I've been following him since high school. He's a beast. He's great. You got to use the run game to win a championship. So I thought that that was a little revealing and interesting, the way that Rand Carthon answered both questions specifically about two specific players. But I think overall it was a great introductory press conference, and it seems like the Titans for now are in good hands.
So you said you think Amy, I mean, you said Amy Adams Strunk has final say. I mean, that, and isn't that the case with every franchise? I mean, ultimately, like the owner, but I mean, like, are you saying you feel like she'll be more involved in things?
I do. Yes. Just considering the nature of the balance of power. Look at when John Robinson was general manager. It was Amy Adams Strunk at the top. John Robinson reported to Amy Adams Strunk. Mike Vrabel reported to John Robinson. I feel like that's kind of the normal chain of command within the NFL. And I believe that John Robinson had final say. If John Robinson wanted to trade for Julio Jones, then that's what the Tennessee Titans are doing. I think now with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel each reporting to Amy Adams Strunk, it's a different balance of power, which now brings Amy Adams Strunk into more big decisions. That's not to say that Amy Adams Strunk wasn't involved in big decisions. She knew about those big decisions. She knew about the decision to trade A.J. Brown. I'm sure she knew about the decision to trade for Julio Jones. But that ultimately, I believe, fell on John Robinson, where now, if there is a disagreement between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, let's say Vrabel wants to draft a lineman in the third round. Rand Carthon wants to draft this tight end in the third round, whatever it might be. It'll ultimately come down to Amy Adams Strunk, and that she will make final decision. And that is just simply based off of my interpretation of the situation.
I think it's Vrabel. I think Vrabel will win right now, but I guess we don't know. Maybe we so. can all just guess from outside. Yeah.
But also, if Mike Vrabel has final say, then I think that Mike Vrabel should ultimately have responsibility. That if, you know, if Vrabel has final say and this team just is a total dud next season, then Mike Vrabel will be the one whose job is in question.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Caroline, one of the decisions that they're going to have to make, as you brought up, is Ryan Tannehill. And there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of different opinions that we've heard from on how the Titans should proceed here, you know, whether that's making a trade, whether it's simply just bringing Tannehill back and going for it one more time, whether it's looking around in the draft and seeing if you can move up and go and get your quarterback of the future. What do you think plays into the Ryan Tannehill decision for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel? Obviously, this year it's easier to get out of his contract than it was a year ago when we were having some of these similar conversations. What do you think at the end of the day is going to be the determining factor that determines whether or not Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and company decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill or decide to bring him back?
I think the number one deciding factor is who else is out there that you like. Because Ryan Tannehill, I look at the 2022 season, and Ryan Tannehill wasn't the problem. Now, is Ryan Tannehill going to be the difference between a Super Bowl appearance in 2023 and not a Super Bowl appearance? No. Looking around at the AFC, you know, it seems like every other franchise in the AFC is getting their quarterback. You know, you've got the Joe Burrows, the Justin Herberts, the Lamar Jacksons, the Patrick Mahomes of the AFC, and the Titans don't have that franchise quarterback. My question is, okay, if you want to move on from Ryan Tannehill because you believe that he isn't going to, you know, propel you to the top of the AFC, that's fine. And who is? Because if you could say, okay, well, the Titans need to draft a quarterback. Okay, great. Then you're going to trade the two or three first-round picks that it would take to get to the top of the draft. And then who's your guy? If it's Bryce Young or Will Levis or C.J. Stroud and Rand Carthon and Amy Adams-Strunk and Mike Vrabel are all on board with a C.J. Stroud and they think that they want to build their franchise around C.J. Stroud moving forward, then great. Then you do what it takes to get that quarterback in the draft. Maybe it's them saying, F it, we're going for Brady. You know, we want Tom Brady. We're going to get him in free agency. We're going to pay him what it takes for him to come here. We're going to get the pieces in place to make this an attractive landing spot for Tom Brady. Okay, then great. Then you go all in on it. But if there's not that guy either in the draft or free agency or maybe even making a trade, because I wouldn't be opposed to making a trade if you're all in on going on trading two or three picks to get a quarterback in the draft, then why not take a quarterback, you know, in free agency and trade those picks as well. But if you don't find that guy, if you don't see that guy out there that would be available in the draft, free agency, or with a trade, then you just stick with Ryan Tannehill. Because, no, that's not the fun move. No, that's not the sexy move to make. But that's the smart move to make. Because you can use those resources. You can use the 11th overall pick to find a tackle, to find a wide receiver or your speedster guy to pair with Treylon Burks. There's other needs on this team outside of quarterback. Unless you see that guy there, then you got to go for him. If you don't see that guy there, then you're just moving off of Ryan Tannehill just to move off of Ryan Tannehill for a guy that might switch a franchise back a few years. I think it totally depends on who else is out there. I think the other part of that as well is Amy Adams-Strunk willing to pay the $18 million dead cap hit that it would take to move off of Ryan Tannehill? And you can draft your quarterback of the future and still hold on to Ryan Tannehill. Maybe he's your starter in 2023 and you move off of him in 2024. If so, then great. But if you want to move off of Ryan Tannehill completely, Amy Adams-Strunk has to be willing to write that $18 million check. I don't know if she is or isn't. If she is, then okay, then that's not even a problem. But that is another factor in here as well, is the money that Amy Adams-Strunk is going to have to put forth.
You think the Titans can fix their offensive line if they go the route that you mentioned there of, you know, ultimately yes. Sticking with Tannehill, they can fix their offensive line in one off season?
Can they fix it in one off season? You know, maybe if they take a whole lot of picks. I don't think they can fix the offensive line in one off season, but I think that they can get closer. You know, you could draft a left tackle in the first round of the NFL draft, and then, hey, great, then you've got your left tackle of the future. Then that's fixed. You can find, you know, some pieces on the offensive line through free agency, through, you know, you can make some trades. But no, it's not going to be fixed completely, I don't think. And even if you put those resources forth to try and fix the offensive line, that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work. So no, I don't think they can fix it in one off season, but they can get better in one off season because this offensive line is truly dreadful.
No question about it. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And as always, you can hear her every day here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, starting at 11 o'clock. Caroline, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be listening today at 11 o'clock.
Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
You as well. Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll get into the Titans coming up next, including a move that has been made at offensive coordinator in the NFL. We'll tell you how that relates to the Tennessee Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds fans hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have David Poile on the show coming up at 8:30. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for being on with us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joel, a move has been made in the National Football League as it relates to an open offensive coordinator position. Adam Schefter putting it out there that the New England Patriots have hired Bill O'Brien to become their next offensive coordinator. Now, obviously, O'Brien has been with the Patriots before, well, most recently with the Alabama Crimson Tide as their offensive coordinator the last couple of years. And a lot had been rumored about does O'Brien want to go back to the NFL and get back into NFL circles. And apparently the answer is yes, he is returning to New England, and he will be the offensive coordinator. So a couple of things. Congratulations to the New England Patriots for hiring an actual offensive coordinator this year. It'll be interesting to see how that pays off for their offense next year. And number two, I mean, I guess if you were a Titans fan that thought Bill O'Brien maybe potentially could be a candidate for you, that wipes a candidate off the board in the offensive coordinator search.
Yep, take him off the board. Does this mean Matt Patricia goes back to the – thank you – the defensive side of the ball?
Maybe. Or is he's going to be like quarterback coach now. Who knows?
I mean, you just never know with that Matty Pat. I'll tell you what.
Versatile.
Lions, would you like to bring him back? Help out? this has kind of been rumbling a little bit. Makes sense. One thing, with two teams. First of all, what does this mean for the Crimson Tide? What are they going to do?
I don't know.
Guys,
is Cliff Kingsbury going to emerge from Thailand and be the next OC for Alabama?
Ayahuasca just screaming out of his pores.
Six different offensive coordinators in 8 years for Saban.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he obviously is doing fine.
No, it's amazing, the turnover on his staff. And it's just like, yep,
see ya.
Well, I mean, I know that they have been passed by Georgia, so I guess there is that. But still doing all right. Yeah. No, usually there's kind of like a recently fired head coach or somebody who is obviously makes sense to go in there.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean,
in Thailand for
no one knows if he's going to
one way ticket. One way ticket. But then of course with the Titans, you take him off the board. You know, another thing with the Titans, the Luke Steckel thing is really interesting.
It is.
You know, I really wonder now if. Like if Vrabel had him identified, if he is also going to be a candidate here.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, we've not heard that that's been the case, but Vrabel did say the other day that he's spoken with numerous people.
Right.
The offensive coordinator.
And that does mean?
It could mean numerous different things.
It means more than, but it means more than like a couple.
It means
right?
many.
That's what it's supposed to mean.
Yeah, many.
Yeah, it means many. So that's an interesting one. Kelly, Steckel, are they both internal candidates or just is Kelly the only one? And why is Steckel of such interest to the Chargers?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, I have no idea whether or not there was any interest on Vrabel's side of things to go and hire O'Brien. I mean, obviously there was a prior relationship there when Vrabel was in Houston. So Vrabel is familiar with Bill O'Brien. And look, think of what you will of Bill O'Brien. I mean, obviously wasn't a very good general manager. I think he was a good head coach when he was just the head coach.
Absolutely.
But wasn't a very good general manager.
Good coach at Penn State, too.
Yeah. I think he's a good football coach. Yeah. I think he's a good offensive mind. I think this is a good move for the Patriots. So we'll see. I don't know what this is going to mean for the Patriots. And, you know, is this going to help Mac Jones? Is Mac Jones going to be better next year? We'll figure all that out. But I do wonder if there was ever any conversation between Vrabel, the Titans, and Bill O'Brien. And if there was, obviously it didn't work out. Where do you go from here if you're the Titans? And what's the timeline look like for the Titans? Like, is it something where they make their hire this week? Is it going to be a couple of weeks? Do they want to speak with somebody who's currently coaching right now in the playoffs? Who knows what happens on that front?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the Kansas City guys, are they – is that off? Have they finally returned any calls? You know, like, where is that? Because obviously if that's a thing, then you're waiting there. I'm trying to think of the other teams. There's no one obvious that – or no one reported and no one – obvious among those teams as far as I know, but I don't know. I mean, even like the Niners, because again, this is Vrabel's thing,
yeah,
but it doesn't mean like Rand Carthon couldn't put his 2 cents in on someone.
Like, hey, I know a guy on the Niners staff that could be a pretty good OC.
Well, the thing is that those guys, I mean, those staffs, like Shanahan's and McVay's staffs, have been just completely raided.
Yep.
In recent years, right? And, you know, and it's worked out for the most part. It's worked out pretty well. I mean, I think D'Amico Ryans has a chance here to be a head coach pretty soon. He's been an awfully good D coordinator for them. But, I mean, you look at them, you know, you got Bobby Slowick is the offensive passing game coordinator. You know?
Sure.
It's the first time I've ever heard of him. But I'm just looking at their roster on the internet right now. Brian Griese, quarterback.
Brian Griese?
I forgot that Brian Griese was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? Yeah. So if you can't get Griese one, you get the starting quarterback at Michigan before Tom Brady. If you can't get Tom Brady into town to be your QB/OC.
Now we're talking. We'll get Griese for OC. Be good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But I still, like, I the timeline – I don't think it really matters too much right now. You have the Senior Bowl next week, no. But, you know.
Well,
I mean, it would be good to have – like, if you had, you know, if you had your OC, if you had your O-line coach, you have Chris Harris coming in at DB. I mean, anybody you have as a position coach who can weigh in on the prospects next week is a good thing.
Agreed.
But I don't know that it's, like, absolutely – like, the GM was absolutely had to happen.
Right. Like, you don't have to make your offensive coordinator decision right now if you're the Titans. Now, as we've talked about, there's still, even with the Patriots job being filled by Bill O'Brien, there's a lot of offensive coordinator jobs that are open in the NFL. And, you know, I don't know what the Titans' plan is. I mean, it very well could be as simple as Tim Kelly's going to be the offensive coordinator, and that's just going to be that. I think if it's not that, and you're looking outside the organization, if you're the Titans, how much does the open jobs around the league maybe influence your timing there of wanting to go get your guy? Now, if you're wanting to wait for, like, Kansas City to be done to try and go get either Bieniemy or Nagy, I mean, who knows if they'll be done this weekend or not. You may just have to wait.
I think they will be. But I don't know that for sure.
I think they will be too. Joe Burrow's pretty good.
Me three.
Patrick Mahomes playing on a high ankle sprain.
He's
going to play.
There's something that doesn't add up with that.
He's playing.
I've never heard of a mild high ankle sprain. Like
watching Andy Reid talk yesterday, he's like, yeah, he's, you know, we don't think it's as bad as it was a couple years ago. Okay.
Then it's not a high ankle sprain. Like this, yeah, something about this does not add up. Either they're reverse sandbagging and making it seem like he's going to be fine and he's not at all, or he doesn't have a high ankle sprain. Right?
I mean, we've seen the high ankle sprain up close and personal this year with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, that is not I'll probably be all right next week, an injury. That's not what it is.
I mean, that's basically what he's playing. Hey, don't worry about it. He'll be in there.
Yeah.
Playing on one foot.
Yeah.
I was saying to somebody, and they're like, no, he said he's playing. I'm like, you can't even walk on a high ankle sprain. Like, no, he's going to play. He'll do it. He'll get out there and play. I'm like, okay, but physically, will he be able to? Was my point.
Well, so much of what he does is extending plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't run a ton, but his extension of plays and then kills you downfield, I mean, you're not going to be able to do that.
I wouldn't think so.
They're going to get blown out. So you got,
he'll bring a little scooter out there.
Yeah, there you go. So you got your OC guys will be ready. They'll be free and clear to talk to you or to not talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, the Nagy part of it's interesting, right? Because like if he's just on the staff right now, he's not the offensive coordinator, would he be open to going back? Like, it's interesting that he is not granted permission yet. I guess it could just be as simple as he's waiting for the season to end. I don't know what's going on there, but like the Bieniemy one, I could at least say, well, I'm already an offensive coordinator. I know I'm not calling plays, but I'm in a good spot here until I become a head coach. The Nagy one's like, well, just go be another offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. It's also maybe, you know, you're hoping Bieniemy gets a head coaching job and you get back to that spot.
With Mahomes.
Yeah. You know, and with Bieniemy, I do think there's value in demonstrating, you know, play calling and all that, but I just – like this particular place right now, I'd be very careful. I'd be looking at the offense and wondering why we would sign up for that.
I got a texter that says, "So thankful the Titans didn't pick up O'Brien." Hashtag Bama alum.
Oh, yeah, that's because I know the OC is it's just everywhere. Like what football fan bases think their OC is good? I mean, Tennessee fans do because they were outrageously good.
And he's gone now.
And he's right. He got a head coach job, but I mean. Like the OC as the person who deserves all blame. It's just amazing. Although I will say that Bill O'Brien called too many passes late in that Tennessee game, though. I will subscribe to that.
All they had to do is catch the ball.
That's true.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and their offensive coordinator search coming up next. Got some tickets to give away coming up next as well. We'll do all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. I got some tickets to give away to see Andrew Dice Clay at the Ryman Auditorium this Sunday night. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call the number 3, we'll win. A pair of tickets to see Andrew Dice Clay at the Ryman Auditorium coming up this Sunday night. 615-737-1025. Discussing the open offensive coordinator position for the Tennessee Titans, Bill O'Brien has been hired by the New England Patriots to be their next OC. So one offensive coordinator candidate, that we don't know if he was a candidate for the Titans, but a guy that was out there is off the board for the New England Patriots. I'm starting to think, I mean, the more I think about it, the more Tim Kelly kind of makes sense, just from all the reasons we've talked about. From number one, he's familiar with Vrabel. Number two, they tried to interview him a couple years ago, got blocked by Houston, and now he's been on your staff as the passing game coordinator. Now, we brought this up. You're the passing game coordinator. Passing offense wasn't very good last year. There is that. But play calling wise, what sort of a fit would Tim Kelly be? How much of an upgrade could he be on Todd Downing? I don't know. I do know that when he was in Houston, you saw Deshaun Watson plays some pretty good football. Now, Deshaun Watson has been a pretty good football player. You saw Davis Mills at the end of his season a couple of years ago start to look a lot better. Davis Mills was not very good this past season. So how much of that is Tim Kelly? How much of that is Davis Mills just playing really well for like a 4 or 5 week stretch to close out last season? I'm not sure. What do you think the reaction will be from Titans fans if it is Tim Kelly? And if he's the OC, how much different do you think things could look, realizing that it's probably going to be more or less the same system that they run?
Well, if it's Tim Kelly, I think this will be a good example of, I think there'll be very underwhelming fan response to that.
Yep.
But, early returns on him, and not a huge sample size, but they're pretty good. You know, another interesting thing, of course, about Tim Kelly is that he is a disciple of Bill O'Brien.
He is.
You know, obviously. Not just with the Texans, but, of course, he was a grad in Bill O'Brien's 1 year at Penn State, two seasons, Penn State, which actually were pretty remarkable given what was going on with that program at that time. Tim Kelly was there as a grad. So he is a Bill O'Brien, you know, disciple all the way, many years with him. But, yeah, look, right now, based on the evidence of what he's done, it's pretty good. You know, and I just, especially with Rand Carthon, I understand, like, you can do something different, and Vrabel doesn't really like being put in a box on scheme, but I think it's pretty clear. Well, I think it's way more likely than not that, like, they're going to be in the same offense. That's what Rand Carthon has been picking players for. It's been tremendously successful for them, for the Rams, for other teams that have used it. And I think within that scheme, you can do a lot of different things. The Titans did that 2 years ago. The Titans had balance 2 years ago, scored a lot of points. So it's not like the scheme. Just watch the Niners. It's the same offense. Not the same offense. You can watch them and be like, that's not what I watch this year with the Titans.
Yeah.
But the creativity of the scheming within the offense, and then obviously the personnel, pretty big part of it too.
It's a big part of it. I do wonder, like, if you're Vrabel, what are you looking for in your next OC? Like, what do you want to be different? Is it as simple as just the play calling and the timing of it? Is it the game planning that goes into it? Is it a combination of all of the above? Like, I'm really interested to see what Vrabel wants in his next offensive coordinator. Like, we've talked about this before. One of the things that is difficult to explain, but you just kind of know it when you see it, is feel for the game, right? Like, it felt like Arthur Smith wasn't perfect, but it felt like more often than not, he had a really good feel for the game, when to call certain plays, when to not call certain plays. And it's not like Todd Downing, contrary to popular belief, never called any good plays and never made any good calls. Like, we've talked about some of the calls he made this year, great timing, great calls, all those different things. There were also some that just kind of leave you scratching your head, like, what in the world are you thinking?
No, Robbie, he was a complete idiot who never made a good call. He doesn't even know the difference between a run play and a pass play.
Just saying, if Treylon Burks could have held on a little bit longer and just thrown that ball a little bit backwards behind the line of scrimmage instead of on the rope he threw, who knows what could happen on that play.
Mike Vrabel knew that play was in the playbook.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Just got to know the feel of the game, the time to call it.
Yep.
So, obviously.
In practice.
That's a, yeah. Maybe so.
In a seven-on-seven charity game.
Leave it there. But in all seriousness, like, it's something that's hard to explain with an offensive coordinator. And a lot of times you either have it or you don't. Like, we won't know until we see Tim Kelly, if he's the hire in the offensive coordinator role here with the Titans, whether or not he's got it here. But I do think that the Titans have a good chance of improving there, because too often I felt like wasn't great from Todd Downing from that perspective.
Yeah, and, I mean, look, Tim Kelly, you know, Todd Downing got this job. Of course, Arthur Smith got it. Sight unseen, no idea what was going on there. Whenever Vrabel talks about these promotions, he talks about the on-the-field coaching aspect. That's what he clearly, like, that's what he makes a big deal of, is how they relate to players and
yep,
inspiring and, like, I've never heard Vrabel say, man, he's really good at calling those plays, you know.
But don't you kind of want that?
Well, yes.
Yeah, don't you kind of need that?
Well, sure. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Arthur Smith was a good enough coach here that he survived different firings, and he was good position coach, and he turned out to be really good at that and just have a great feel for all of it, which is why he's a head coach in the NFL. But Todd Downing had one, you know, bad year, which you could explain away to a point. Tim Kelly has a couple good years. A couple pretty darn good years. Well, really three, right? I'd say all were pretty good seasons given what the heck happened in 21. David Culley keeps him, and they're just completely gutted. You know, Watts is not playing all that stuff. And, I mean, Davis Mills looked okay.
Well, we heard from John McClain earlier this year, and he talked about how, you know, at some point Texans fans are ready to run Tim Kelly out of town, which, again, that happens when you're offensive coordinator.
Right. You stink as a team. You stink in offensive personnel. And, yes, the offensive coordinator is still going to get blamed.
But McClain,
100%.
Yeah, but McClain also said, you know, by the end of this past season, a lot of Texans fans are like, man, we missed Tim Kelly down there as OC of the Texans. So, I mean, that's what you deal with this position in sports. Again, I have no idea whether or not it's going to be Tim Kelly. I just think that that's still the most likely scenario, that it is Tim Kelly. And if that's the case, there's at least a body of work that you can point to as an offensive play caller and as an offensive coordinator that leads you to believe he could be successful if he's here with the Titans.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people want him to be the OC heading into last year.
Yeah. Well, and then whenever there was a good play call last year, do we know for sure he wasn't the one who called the play? I don't know. I can't confirm or deny, but in all seriousness, I think it makes sense. I think it could work. But I do wonder, like Luke Steckel, what's up?
Yeah.
Luke Steckel get an interview with the Chargers reaching out to him? Does Vrabel be like, wait, well, hold on. All right. Well, maybe we should interview Luke. I don't know. Maybe they were anyway.
Maybe so.
It's an interesting thing.
He's talked to numerous people.
The tight ends coach, and Vrabel has promoted two of them.
Yes.
The thing about the tight ends coach, of course, is that you are involved in the pass and run aspects of an offense. So it makes sense. Tight ends coaches get promoted. O-line coaches also get promoted a lot too. And by the way, that's a big hire.
Well, and he's been coaching the heck out of Jeff Swain. So, I mean.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, I had to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, poor
Swader.
The Swaders have their say.
Going up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the show. I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed each time that it's not Rexroad singing Glorious.
Yeah,
back here.
We've had enough of that. There are some other good NCOT B songs, you know, by the way, like Please Don't Go Girl. You should check out the catalog. I mean, they've got a wide selection of.
Do you like that one?
Please Don't Go Girl? Oh, yeah. You know that song?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to play songs that you like on the Rex Rant.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I kind of like NCOT B. I mean, I like them relative to other boy bands.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Okay, then I'll make sure to play more 1D.
Yeah, why see, not? Once you get into that stuff, yeah. Like, the old school boy bands, like NCOT B, are better than, like, Backstreet Boys.
You big NSYNC guy?
No, see, that's where it got bad. That's where boy bands went bad.
They had the Frosted Tips hair.
Yeah. They did have the Robbie Stanley Frosted Tips.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, Robbie, you missed that one.
Big hit in the early 2000s.
Yes. All right, so today, it's a little bit more soliciting advice rant.
Okay.
Because I don't want to sit here and rant about unnamed people's rooms who somehow will get trashed in like an hour and will get cleaned and then will get trashed again. And then the bathroom that gets trashed and the dog poop that gets left in the hallway and dishes and waking up in the morning and seeing like just a pan full of like egg product in it and just crap all over the place. Like I went to bed and the place was clean and I wake up at it's 5 a.m. and it's like, how the hell is this kitchen this trash? I'm not going to sit here and complain and rant about that stuff. I'm soliciting advice. I need to know what you can do to incentivize today's youth teenager to do anything.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's open up the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's a call for help.
I actually, in all seriousness, like I have planned this week to Google written contracts with teenagers to try to incentivize productive behavior.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. And so I am considering a contract of some kind. Again, like I hate to be this guy. We've had this conversation before. I had a healthy fear of my parents.
Yes.
Like, not I wasn't, like, walking around in terror.
Yes.
But, like, I, you know, you don't want to piss off your parents.
Yes.
That doesn't exist anymore. At least it does exist in my, you know, in my household.
It's harder to exist nowadays.
But also just, like, you know, like an allowance. We had an allowance. It wasn't much. I mean, my gosh, what was my allowance? It was, like when I was little, it was, like $2 a month or something, you know. But it was, like, all right, yeah. You know, get some M&Ms.
I was this teenager not too long ago.
Were you?
This teenager that just trashed your house?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
That surprises me.
That surprises me too.
But then I would, okay, here's the thing. It was more the room issue, and if my mother's listening, she knows. It's just the clothes everywhere. But then I would pull the, oh, I'll just shove it all into my closet and shut the door.
Yeah.
And then my mom is like, oh, let me see if you cleaned your room. And then I'll be like standing in front of the closet door and she'd like open the closet and everything would just fall out.
Yeah. And how many times did that happen?
A lot.
Okay.
Doesn't that take a lot of effort just to do that though?
Like my apartment is like fully clean. Do not even open the door to the closet. You can't see the floor.
Okay. But at least you do that. I know that that's not ideal. Like ideally you'd put stuff in the laundry, right?
Correct.
But at least you're trying. It can look clean on the surface.
Giving it a shot. No, like it's a good question. Like, first off, I can't sit here and act like as a teenager I did not trash my room or trash the house. But it kind of goes back to your point. Like, it's, at some point, either my mother or my father would be like, hey, man, get in here and do this or you're not going to like what happens afterward. Like, that's basically what happened. So, I don't know – I don't really know how I used to think about it. I guess I just did it. I was like, all right, well, I guess I need to go clean my room. I tried the closet thing once, and then I was like, well, this takes just as much effort to, like, put all this stuff over here than it would be just to go put it up.
Exactly.
So after that, I just started to put it
right.
up.
Right. Like, sometimes, like, the cover-up or just the lazy route is actually at least as much effort
as just
doing what you're asked.
So I said, if I'm going to do that, I might as well just – just go put it all up.
And this, there's some of these light bulbs that really need to go on.
I will say the dishes thing, like, I didn't appreciate, like, going to college and, you know, living in a dorm and then, like, having your own apartment and having to do your dishes makes you appreciate more when you go home to clean your dishes off and to run the dishwasher and stuff like that. Like, it does, or at least for me. which I know is probably bad, and I'm outing myself right now that high school Michelle didn't like to do the dishes. Yeah. But, like, I'll go home, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I get mad at my brother if we're home for the holidays. I'm like, dude, why aren't you doing your dishes? Like, I will get mad.
Just rinse the crap off. One of my it takes 2 seconds, and then it doesn't stick to it.
I used to – one of my things is, like, I'd get home from school, and my parents would want me to, like, do some chores or do all this stuff. I'm like, do you know how hard I work today? Like, you know how much energy I put out there today? And I think about it now. I'm like, geez.
Right?
I didn't do a thing in school.
Yeah.
Working hard.
Right. Oh, boy. Boy, there's a lot of stuff that's very familiar in the things you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Rebecca says, take the phone. Every violation, you lose it for 24 hours. The problem is the phone also is a tracking device. So
yes.
I mean, you know, so that's really the problem. Dennis says the only thing you can do is give up. You've already lost. You're probably right.
I like Sean's advice. Sean says, walk them to class. Whatever they did, they won't do it again. I speak from experience. Happened to me at 16. Thanks, Dad. This is from Sean on the text line. Just walk right there with him. Hey, guys. This is my kid.
Yeah, some kind of public embarrassment is probably worthwhile. Keith says, promo code Joe20. Believe me, Keith. Well. Calgon, take me away. Contractual agreements signed by minors are not enforceable. Taking away the keys always got me as a kid. Power cords of video games, charger removal. Yeah, but see, again, so there's a sub-rant. Well, you want to remove a charger? Well, guess what? Someone else's charger gets stolen.
Yes, it does.
You could remove the video games, though.
That used to get me. Like, yeah. When I wasn't allowed to play the Nintendo 64, to date myself a little bit, or the PlayStation 2. That really used to get all over me.
Yeah, and that's been part of the equation. Yep, certainly.
Public embarrassment, I like that.
Yeah, well, and Nate says, and this is kind of, I mean, again, it's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, here, let's lay this out. You do this, 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 you get this. You don't do this, 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 you lose this. Nate says, take money away from your kids like fines. That's what I'm talking. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, what is there a particular system that is effective that someone has used?
Now, what about this from Zach? Reverse psychology. Don't clean or do anything for a solid week or two. They'll eventually realize they need to start cleaning. I wonder what the eventually means.
Yeah.
But then you have to live in the house, too.
Yeah. It'll just get condemned, Zach. It's just, you know.
It'll just be over.
Yeah. Gus and Quinn will be struggling.
Yeah, yeah, they'll start cleaning.
Oh, man.
They'll start cleaning their own poop.
But the reverse psychology, I mean, I've seen it work before. This is the question is, what does eventually mean? It could be a long time. Like, I know teenage me, I could go a pretty long while without being like, you know what? Probably needs to start straightening some of this stuff up around here.
I mean, college me.
Yeah,
think absolutely. Of the house that my housemates and I lived in.
I mean, if I'm honest, I could still probably go a long time where I'm less like, you know, now's probably the time.
Yeah.
Boys, college houses,
oh man,
the most disgusting thing ever. My brother, I saw his house senior year. I was like, I don't know how you guys live.
Oh, it's rough.
I mean, like the shower clogged and filled with dip spit. Like you're standing in a dip cup. I'm not kidding. Someone says, don't need to track them if they can't go anywhere. Ha ha, car and phone. Right, but see, then the friend with the car shows up. And
you know what
I mean,
could
you could
do?
Try to physically restrain people, but that's
Joe,
probably
you
not
could
advisable.
Get them the little tile things. And put him on a keychain, so then you can still track them, but he doesn't have to have his phone.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay.
They're like,
I didn't know about this.
They're called tiles.
You just put a microchip in his head?
In his ear, actually. No, they're called tiles, and essentially the idea is like you attach it to like your keys, so if you lose your keys, you can track it. Like you have an app on your phone. So you could put the tile on like his house keys or keychain or whatever, so you know where he is. But he doesn't have to have his phone because you can have it on your phone.
This is a great idea. I wish you hadn't said it on the air. I promise this is getting back to him.
Sorry, dude.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Lots of advice being offered to Rex Road on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I appreciate it, everybody.
We appreciate it. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Beyond Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, what are the biggest decisions that Rand Carthon has to make with his Titans roster? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.